1 Timothy chapter 2. And as we was looking at this last week, just to recap just for a minute, verses 1 through 8 deals with men in the assembly. 9 through 15 will deal with the women in the assembly. And as we lift up the, you know, lift up the men in assembly, we learned some things last week about how to pray, and the fact that prayer, you prayed for people to be saved, and that how you pray to do that is the fact that you send people out to be evangelists. You know, as Brother Leon goes out in the world, and all of us goes out in the world, we pray that you be bold. Remember, we recapped this last week, and the fact that in Philippians, Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. That's what you pray for. You pray for people to have boldness to go out. As you pray for me to be bold in my standing, I'm returning God to God. To prayer for you. Prayer is communication. We can pray for people. You know, we can pray just knowing that, hey, we're communicating. We're thinking about each other. And then Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, this shall turn to my salvation through your prayers. Go there. Hold your fingers in Timothy and go to Philippians. Philippians 1. Philippians 1. Philippians 1, verse 18. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn my salvation through your prayers and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. What is that this in verse 19? The preaching, yes, Christ is preached, and that's what we preach here, don't we? We preach Christ crucified and Him what? Risen, okay? We glory in the fact that Jesus Christ is death, burial, and resurrection. We preach the death, burial, and resurrection every day. That is our salvation. We don't do it once a year, Easter, okay? That we do that every day. That's why I ask when you share that, if how do you get to heaven, you know, and they say, well, you know, I'm a good person. You know, I pay tithes. I go to such and such church. Where's the cross at? Where's the death, burial, and resurrection? So first and foremost, if you keep in memory what I preach, unless you believe in vain, we preach Christ crucified. Amen? That's the message. That's the gospel that gets people saved. Once you get saved, as we work down through there, the fact that, go back to Timothy, that 1 Timothy chapter 2, but as we pray through your prayers, you pray for opportunities. You know, we just mentioned some things in our prayer request this morning, didn't we? You know, have the people's needs and stuff. What did you basically determine? Boldness. You pray for the opportunity that somebody will reach these people. Amen? You pray the fact that you get to the funeral. You get to the families and just reassure them that we live in a sin-cursed world when things happen. You know, we don't understand some things. I don't understand a lot of things, but I do know this. I do know I got a ministry, and I still have to keep going forward. When all else fails, you keep moving forward. And then we pray, you pray the fact that you must pray for boldness and courage. Don't we do that? Man, I know you're bold. I pray that you have courage to stand for truth. And we pray for the clarity of the gospel. Just present it, as Walt was sharing today about a possibly Bible study. Share the gospel. Keep it clear. Don't muddy the water. Don't water it down and don't sugarcoat it either. You know, sometimes we're adults, okay? And we look at some people sometimes that we have to tiptoe around because we're afraid that we're going to hurt them or hurt their friendship. Hey, they've been hurt. I was hurt. I lost friendship before I come to understand and rested in the dispensation of grace of God. And many of you know that. Many of you come out of religion systems and all, haven't you? you know, and was beaten down, and just the world was crumbling all around you. But somebody shared the gospel, the grace of God with you, and showed you from the Word of God, and you believed it. It works effectually in those that what? Believe. And you believe in it. Now, and that's what I'm thankful for. In Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. I exhort thee, therefore, that first of all, supplication and prayers and intercession, giving thanks, be made for how many men? All men. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that man who? Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for how many? All, to be testified in what? Due time. Wherein I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. What's that? And doubting. Okay? Think about this. We left off in verse 1 through 3 last week, and the fact that we pray for kings and all those in authority. That's Romans 13. You know, we may not like and understand the judicial system or people that above us. You have elections all the time. Whether you like that person or not, you still pray for them. You know, and we looked last week, if the nation had responsibilities towards the Word of God rightly divided, wouldn't this make a difference in how you live today? And how people gives money out and takes money from you? Yes, very much so. And then look at who will have all men to be what? Verse 4? Saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, will all men be saved? But God's will is to have all men to be saved. And come to the knowledge of the truth. What does 2 Timothy 3:7 say over there? 2 Timothy 3, verse 7. That's right. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Isn't that something? You know, and verse 1 of that same chapter, it says, This know also, that in the last day, perilous times shall come. And it gives you a list of what's going to happen. And I guarantee you, every one of those verses, you can find something's going on right now. It was going on in Paul's day, so it's no difference then than it is now. So when things fall around, when things just seems like they're at wit's end, if you will, I'll just shake my hand. It don't surprise me. But what are you going to do about it? You know, all the time we like, why? You know? Well, I try not to say why. I say, okay, what are we going to do about it? I know why. I know why my kids rebel. I know why my wife rebels. I know why I'll rebel. You know, I won't pick on you guys this morning. But think about it. You know the answer to that. So what do you do about it? You pick yourself up. You brush yourself off. You say, I'm in Christ and I'm making a difference. And then sometimes you ought to do a comparison with the last days in that verse 1. This know also that in the last days, perilous shall come, with Paul's last days compared to Peter's last days in Acts chapter 2, verse 16. You ought to think about that. This is that? Spoken by the mouth of prophet Joel? Okay? Think about those things. Think about those last days. But the people that ever learning and ever come to knowledge of truth. Then you have people that wants to come to knowledge of truth. You know, I'm looking at you right now. You know, and the fact that you want to know truth. And you know it's a work process, isn't it? You got to work to know that. And you got to do that. For verse 5, for there is how many gods? One God. Now, over there in Corinthians, Paul talks about there's many gods. That people, you know. So there are more than one God out there. And I guarantee you go out there and you mention a person today, they're worshiping another Jesus. They're worshiping another God. They're worshiping idols. You know, you're not supposed to have any graven images. of God?
Of God?
Yeah. You know, but there's idols. They're gods. I'll say this all the time. You go, what, 4.5 miles up the road here, and there's a temple. Got a football on top of it. And all the football gods are there. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Hall of Fame. It's wonderful. The world has all kinds of stuff. You know, but I just know that I have a God in my house. Sits about on my desk. You know, I have a God right here. You know, I'm being honest with you. You know, I can put more emphasis on this right here than my wife and kids or the ministry. And that's sad. So I'm not above anybody else. Follow me? I'm just a man. But look, no, don't follow me for that. But anyway, look, you come to knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, and that man is who?
Christ.
In times past, was Christ Jesus the mediator?
No.
There was a religious system out there. They went to the temple, didn't they? You had to go through priest, or what is it? You had to go through a religious system. You had to go to Holy of Holies, right? Then verse 6 says, who gave Himself a ransom for all. Hold your finger there. You should know where I'm going. Matthew chapter 20. This was mentioned earlier this morning. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for all. For many. He came to this earth for many. Now we know He came for God so loved the world. Okay, He did love the world. That he gave His life for it, okay? But when He was on the earth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, He didn't come for all. And I'm not going all through what we did in the past. You should know the verses, Matthew 15, Matthew 10, 5 through 6. Okay? I come, but not for the lost sheep of Israel. And once you understand who He came for, it was He's supposed to feed the apostles, that little nations, so they would be filled, so they would be able to go out and feed the Gentiles and all other nations. They must be fed first. You know, if you think about it, you're being fed with the Word of God rightly divided in order to fill you up in your doctrine and your soul so you can go out and do what? Feed somebody else, okay? To be able to teach somebody else. That's what rightly dividing the word of truth is all about, coming to knowledge. If you didn't have this knowledge, okay, and I'm saying this with love and with honesty and with courage and with boldness. There's not a person in here sitting right now could not go up toe-to-toe with anybody in the religious system and share what they know to be truth from the Word of God. I'm serious. You know, we ought to have a TV program on TCT, Ask the Pastor. We should have ask Canton Grace Fellowship. have a TV show right in here and have other churches come in there and not debate, but ask questions. I guarantee you what you know right now is more than people that's been sitting in churches for 25, 30 years. Yes? I think you're going to stand ashamed, and then after when it's all said and done, you're going to know what's right and wrong. That's why we talked about rewards. See, you know that you trust Christ Jesus died for your sins and buried your wrong. You're saved. You're going to heaven. But there's people out there that don't know the truth, and Satan loves those type of people because it's hindering the gospel because he don't want nobody else to know what you know. Okay? So that's why some people just don't want to study. Some people just don't want to know the truth, and they just sit back there and, you know, sit on their hands. And I do believe this. You can sit on your... You can know the truth that Christ died for your sins and buried rose again. Oh, sorry. rose again and sit on your hands and not share the gospel with anybody or try to help the church out, and you're still going to heaven. Right? If you know what I'm talking about? And you're going to suffer rewards up there. But yeah, when it's all said and done, you're going to be sitting at the person who spoke the Word of God. And I believe you do have Bible studies. He's going to teach you. You know what I mean? You're going to know the truth. Yes, sir?
That pastor that preaches another gospel, he knows the death, burial, and resurrection, but he's preaching another gospel on the foundation. And it says he's going to be accursed. What does it mean by that, accursed?
Ooh.
Well, I looked it up. I've been looking it up, studying it, but I still don't get it.
I just believe it's a curse means set aside. You know, you're going to be accused, that type of thing. You are saved. And see, you know, we know as Bible-believing grace believers, the fact that people says you got a license to sin.
Do you are saved thing, though? I don't know. Because here's the thing. Those guys that preach that other gospel, they're saying, make Jesus Lord of your life. They're saying,
they're watering it down.
You know, give yourself to Jesus, change yourself. They are not teaching Christ died, was buried, and rose again.
The clarity.
They are not teaching that.
And that's why I asked. That's why I asked. And the thing that gets me off the hook about those people. It's the fact. I mean, I'm just maybe using this as an excuse that I can't judge your soul. Only right. God knows the truth. Right. But I can judge by the fruits. And if they're preaching another gospel, and yet they want to water it down, and they want to deny this, and they want to add to this, I point at that and say, false doctrine. Stay away from it. That's where the knowledge of the truth comes. That's why you separate yourself from that. Many of you saints came out of that religious system, and you know what I'm talking about. And you know the fact you may have brothers and sisters and uncles and aunts that you think they are saved. That's a hope. But I can't stand up here and say, that man's going to die and go to hell. You know, but I do know what he's preaching, and you can save people out of that. Follow me? That's how I believe. Now, that's my... I'm on first base now.
You know, I was trying to say, with Jesus taught about that the good tree cannot produce bad fruit, bad tree cannot produce good fruit. He doesn't say how many, because I often think people will say, oh, well, gosh, this mega church has 5,000 members, so they obviously have good fruit. For all we know, that fruit isn't good.
And that's...
The message is the tree, can you get good fruit? And to me, I mean, in my mind, being a rather simple man, a truck driver, I always think the moment you get off the cross...
Get off focus.
On the wrong path, man. I mean, if that path doesn't lead directly to the cross, you're on the wrong path. Mm-hmm. I don't care how it appears to you, get off the cross, you're on the cross.
And that's the message of the gospel of Christ. Christ crucified. Christ crucified.
Simplicity of the cross is called over and over.
My favorite verse is Christ. I don't save anything. I don't want anything among you. Save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's my favorite verse. That's what I believe to be preached, and you know all that other stuff. You know, you just be faithful. See, this is where it's an all-man ministry that we talked about last week. This message is an all-man ministry message to get out, but everybody's not going to believe it. So don't get worried and don't get discouraged. Oh my gosh, that 5,000 church members over there, you know, they're being taught false. Yes. I mentioned this, three or four years ago, going up to this church up here, seeing this well-known KJV guy, and he didn't give the gospel out one time, did he, JJ? And guess what? Did. I went up and grabbed his hand. Are you going to heaven? I wanted to know. You know, he basically said, how dare you even mention, you know, question where I'm going, that type of thing. Yeah. You know, just be bold.
Always say, well, how many people are in your church? And this one. You know what we could always say? So we've got a few more in hours than Noah had on the ark.
That's it. And, you know, and assuming, what's that verse? Assuming gain is godliness. And I've had people, you know, just look and say, yeah, how can God be in this little building under a dispatch station?
But aren't we all part of the body of Christ and sinners?
Right. That's it, millions. Say, hey, I've got millions in my church. But look at Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 28. Matthew 26, verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remissions of sins. You know who that many was? It's a little flock. If you believe Christ, He shed His blood for many. Now go back to Timothy chapter 2.
Everything Christ did.
1 Timothy 2. It's for the nation Israel.
That's what I meant.
Yes, yeah, for the nation Israel. Because that was the system God set up. You know, He wasn't going to come in here and just...
I thought to pick up some papers. I think I got
the wrong thing. Yeah, all the way around.
Yeah.
And, the thing is, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the? You just seen in chapter 2, verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3, ever learning and never able to come to the truth. You got people, God's will to have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. And you got Paul saying there's people ever learning, never come to the truth. And chapter 4, verse 10 says, 1 Timothy 4:10 says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of how many men? Especially those that..." Okay? When you believe it, He's going to save you. But He is the Savior of all man. Okay? That's these universalists that we talked to several weeks ago. That burns me up. And that same person typed me the other day, he said, Isaiah 46, something or another, those that are in the Lord is the seed of Israel. I said, amen, hallelujah. The seed of Israel is in the Lord. Paul says the same thing. You and the Lord, you're, I said, praise God. I said, but one thing I failed to share with you, God never, ever, ever violates your free will. Ever. And His will is to have all men be saved, but your will may say, I'm not going to be saved. I'm rejecting. He's going to give you what you deserve. You know, and God, I was looking in Ezekiel, like God hates for people to perish. You know that? He hates the wicked to perish. That's not His desire. Then you look at verse 6, Timothy 2, 6, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in when?
Time.
Now, who's the due time testator? Well, it's over in 1 Timothy, where is that at? Timothy, maybe it's 2 Timothy. That we just read, Matthew or? Verse 6, yes. Well, anyway, over here, in due time, Paul says he came to this world to save sinners. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy in me first, that Christ might show forth long suffering for a pattern to them that should hereafter believe on Him to everlasting life. Paul is the due time testator. In due time, God revealed this to be testified. You understand that? It wasn't back here. I think many of you know time passed, but now in ages to come. That's where you got, that's the reality of God's plan. Then you say verse 7. But anyway, before I go to verse 7, verse 6, you see the difference? Does the Bible contradict itself?
No.
But when you show that, hey, Christ did die for many, You're right. Right on the money. But who's that many? And then you come over here, Paul, and you show he died for all. All many.
All don't always respond.
That's right. That's what we're talking about. He did die for all. And through the message of grace and understanding with the revelation that Paul got from Jesus Christ, risen Lord, that he did. It's an all ministry now. It's all man. That's why there's no difference between who. Now, was it in time past? Absolutely. See? And then verse 7, wherefore I am ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. You know, he probably got finger pointing at him, didn't he? You don't preach Christ. We preach Christ. We walked with them. We talked with them. That's Christ. I saw miracles. And lie not, you liar. You know, he was there, persecution, injurious. You read over there. You ever read his pedigree in Philippians chapter, was it 3 or 4? Man, he had it going on, people. He was moving up the ladder. Then, and a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will. Here's Paul's will. Therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Men that understand the dispensation of grace of God and local assemblies, that's his will. To pray lifting up hands and dedicate the leadership of the local church. When you're lifting up holy hands, what do you think that would be? This? You see people lifting up holy hands in ceremonies? Okay? The men should be, you know, the blameless in their life. Holy hands, clean, blameless, pure. You know? Now, I know you're looking up here at me saying, that ain't no way. But remember, I'm looking back at you. You know? But the thing is, we in our flesh, we're not holy, and we're not pure, and we're not blameless. But Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, we are. And that's who Paul is constantly telling us, get out of yourself and get in who? Christ. And when you start understanding that and start lying that doctrine line up in your life, you can become blameless. You are blameless in front of Jesus Christ right now. You're not going to die and go to hell. That's the greatest news that someone can hear today. That you are not going to die and go to a place of torment and forever. Not just a while. Forever. If you trust Christ Jesus. Without wrath. That's not being mad and angry. You know, men, you know, we'll get to you women maybe next week. I've been trying to put this off. So I don't think, I'm out of town next week. So anyway, just joke. But anyway, you know, you try and put this, you know, think about, man, without wrath, without being mad and angry all the time. You know, and you lift it up, you pray. This, we need men in this ministry. And I know people come to me all the time, what if other Bible studies that don't have men? You know, what do you do? Or if you got a man in there, you know, and there are a bunch of women, you'll learn how to submit your authority to. You know, I tell people don't stop your Bible study because you got some man that won't sit up or lead. You know, you can encourage him, and he will if he get the doctrine, he will step up and lead that Bible study. But if it's a ladies' study, you know, ladies conduct it. Doubting. When he talks about doubting, he is not talking about them doubting something, but he's talking about Romans 14:1. Him that is weak in the faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. In other words, it is not doing doubtful things, disputing. He's talking about a man who has a spiritual mind that have a good relationship with each other. You know, you build that relationship in that local church. You know, the men in my assembly, I lean on them. You know, I ask them questions. I want to know what you think. You know, sometimes my mind's already made up. But hey, you share some things with a different perspective. I need to lean on you guys. You got to have good men in here to build a local assembly. You got to have spiritual leaders, and they men holy lives and a unity and oneness among us. If Dan believed one thing and Leon built another and Walt built, believed another and Jack and JJ and, you know, all these men in here, You know, it would be a division in here, schisms and all that stuff. You know, you wouldn't want to come back. But you build it up, and you build the doctrine inside these souls, and it takes a while. You know, we just celebrated 6 years of our church. You know, we started with just my wife and kids and the pictures in her billfold. You know, we was there. And then the men come and JJ and you guys come and there's plenty left. You know, but the same thing, God wants faithful people, and that's what builds the local church. Okay? I'm not putting anything on your shoulders that God already has not put on in your heart. You know that. You know that. Then now he's going to amplify these things later on, of course, but you dedicate the men of the church and you move up. Women, you get behind the men of the church. Okay? Verse 9. And in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel and with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair and gold and pearls or costly array. Responsibility of the women in the local assembly. In like manner also, the women are to be subjected to their husbands, okay? Which means you submit and yield. Y'all know that. Many of you know that.
What if their husband is wrong? In other words, whatever the wrongness is, what do they do then?
Well, they're not here. See, if the women's are here, say Sherry knows this gospel, and I didn't. She still submits to me. That's what God wants you to do. You don't submit to abusive relationship. Y'all know that. But when it comes to spiritualness and stuff like that, you still have to submit yourself to your husband.
Even if he's wrong.
Even if he's wrong.
If he's spiritual.
If he's spiritual. There you go. But what I'm getting at, you don't cause, God's not going to cause, come in and cause division. You seek help. If she had an issue with me in spiritual matters, well, who should she go to?
You first.
Okay? The husband first, right? And then what do? You seek your preacher, you know, and they work together, and they work together. Well, but look.
What if that doesn't work? What if the man just says no, both times? Okay? And I'm thinking of two people.
Well, the Bible strictly said don't be unequally yoked.
No, but both people can be a good Christian when they're married for 20 years, and one of them says, I disagree, I'm leaving the church. And the other one says, I agree. And yet,
I would never go against telling your wife to go against you. I wouldn't do that. I would never do it.
You can still be a God-fearing woman and still continue to pray for your husband, lift him up,
absolutely,
love him, but you don't have to forsake the message to do that.
No,
sometimes the silence and the submission of a great woman, even if we're off track, will bring us back on track.
And
on track, because we realize in their silence and in their submission and following us how stupid we've been. And go back.
Look, Colossians chapter 3:18. Put yourself under the high position and authority. Okay? Ephesians 5:21. Submitting yourself one to another in the fear of the Lord. Okay? Follow me? That's where the doctrine comes into. Okay? God ordained order, people. Man corrupts it. You follow me? I know it's hard sometimes to, you know, think, you put yourself in my position sometimes, you just say, hey, you have to do what God told you to do. And I'm not violating that. You know, I'm not saying you put yourself in any abusive relationship. Y'all know what I'm saying there. Okay? You don't belong there. But look, 1 Corinthians 14. I was wanting to wait another week before we get. Might as well at least get through this one verse before y'all start throwing stuff at me.
When you talk about backup, isn't it just meaning
Say that again.
Like, you know, when a man and wife are in that type of a relationship, and we're submitting, I mean, but isn't he supposed to take into consideration, you know, to how you feel?
Yes. That's where loving one another...
It's
very mutual. I know people that...
But you also have to remember that it doesn't say submit to your husband when he takes into effect your feelings and considerations. It's just like when... Let's just take it out of the whole context and say when a child is under the authority of a teacher or a boss and they're belittling and they're belligerent and they're rude and nasty and the kid still does what's expected of him. Not because the person deserves it, but because he's just going to do the right thing. And that's what God, and I'm not saying it's easy, trust me. You know, when you find yourself going toe-to-toe and you just know you're right and you just want to voice that opinion and make that authority. But God says you just say, I'm going to submit myself to your authority.
Well, just like what Jack was just saying a while ago, even if a man just sometimes silence or a woman's, it can work that way with a man too. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let your women keep silent in churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, also as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. You know what the context of that is? What was they doing?
Tongues.
That's why they silence. But I'm saying you, if you got a husband that don't know his gospel, how are you going to ask them something?
Well, you don't.
Hey, I know a lady, a man that had a liquor store and whored around night and day, and his wife was saved. She didn't give up on him. She took tracts and planted them everywhere he would, you know, be. And he come to understand the love that she had for him. She never did, you know, leave him and stuff like that. And he come to understand some truth. See? Follow me? Now, if he was beating you or doing bad things or stuff like that, you know you don't stay in that situation. I'm not saying that, but let's get back to reality here. The church, the women, adorn themselves with what? What does that mean?
Costly array of worldly attire. And
modesty. You know. This is what you... Modesty. Women in our church, you be modest, okay? Shamefacedness. A sense of shame for what is indecent. Quick to blush or be embarrassed. I know women like... I work around women all day long, buddy. They can... You think some guys talk... Oh my God, they make me blush and say, well, I'm hiding in the trailer. Like, oh my gosh, I don't want to come out. You know? Hey, some of us have been there. Some of us have never been there. Praise God. But look, you don't have to do that. Shame. This stuff embarrasses me. You know, I'm talking to women here. Sobriety, in control. Women have a tremendous social, moral impact. And they set tones with the local assembly. Do I go to the men? Hey, let's have a meal next week, men, and we'll plan it. You know, you would go to McDonald's or Friendly's or, you know, it would be a disarray. But what do? We turn to our women because you know what? They're organized. They know they're the social impact of our church. We look to them. We need them. You know, conducting Bible studies or whatever women does. Us men say, yep, yeah, we'll start a Timothy group next Saturday. 8 o'clock over here at the truck stop. You know, you might show up and, you know, I'm still in bed. You know what I mean? You know, it's hard for us to get things going. Not in braid hair or gold. This is a reference and warning from Paul to women not to substitute outward appearance for the inner appearance. Follow me? I tell people all the time, I want to see your real beauty. I tell my children, you know, girls when they're growing, I look at the real you. You don't have to color yourself up. you know, paint yourself up, and I know what they say, guys. Even, what does it say? Old barn looks good with a new coat of paint. You know, and all that type of stuff. You're right? But look, it was, I fought battles in my house when my girls was 11, 10, 11, 12 years old, wanting to paint their faces up and walk outside. Yeah. And it wasn't October 31st. You know, I fought that battle because I didn't want my I wanted my children to be children. Now, they could play and dress up at home, you know, and be little girls and stuff like that. But when they go out there before they're 16 or 17, painted up, y'all seen that. You know, that's what you need. You don't have to substitute that. You adorn with good works. Okay? 1 Timothy 5:10 says, 1 Timothy 5:10, well reported for good works. If she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have received the afflicted, if she relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. That's what the women need to do. Hey, you, look at that list. Brought up children. Man, it's hard to bring up children, man. You know? Women can bring up children. Lodge strangers. He won't let him sleep out there in that cold. Well, yeah, he can sleep in the woodshed for all I care. You don't know how he treated me. You're not treating your brother like that. You know what I mean? The women said, the lodge, you know, strangers. Wash the saints' feet. See how they conduct themselves. They'll always work, take care of the sick. Women's good with that. Are they not? Any women in here today? I don't hear what I'm saying. It's okay to speak. I didn't mean to disrupt you about that. Women keep silence. That had to do with tongues.
Because when we came back from Israel, I invited 7 grace believers to come stay in our house. And if you don't think that really threw my husband through.
I'm with you. One time we was doing some things here and we was going through some turmoil and pow talk was big and we talked about, hey, there's some preachers coming to their house, you know, from Connecticut and Michigan and Tennessee. And Ray Watson, bless his heart, he goes, I'll be there. And he drove all, we didn't know Ray from Adam. He drove all the way up, and they had 22 people stay at our house. You know, and I know what you're saying, but that's the way we are. You know, we'll lodge you. If she don't feed you, I will. You know, that type of thing. Look, in good works, Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 5. Titus chapter 2. Titus 2, verse 3 and 5. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior and become as holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of the home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be what? Blaspheme. That's the aged women. You ever thought about, when I look at a woman, I look at them as if they're like my mom, a woman, okay? If I look like at a young child, I look at them as if my sister. You follow me? And I always look at you straight in your eyes. Guys, you should know what I'm saying. Okay? Women, you should know what I'm saying. You know, you look at the person in their eyes and you see who they are. You know, and I don't need my wife to beautify herself up with gold and stuff like that. I know who she is in Christ, see? And that's the light that they need to see. The guys sees out of you. The women, the aged women and stuff. Okay? Next week we'll pick up on verse 11. Let the women keep silent and we'll talk a little bit more on that. Amen?